Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You can't take me or this show anywhere in
public. We're still here.
We are still here. And refusing to act right along the way.
Facts.
It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and SiriusXM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike here. And it really was. Like, last Friday got away from us a little bit, I feel like.
I do think the spirits caught us and lifted us far, far away. I have a question, though. How's your stomach?
My stomach? It's doing better now. You and I were both furiously scarfing down food right before this show, and I feel like one of us is going to start to drool on the microphone soon.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, while you're talking, I'm probably going to be eating, and while I'm eating, so we'll have it. We'll hold it down. But I'm really curious because your belly had a nice tattoo, and, you know, before I saw you get up, and I think you're taking your sweatshirt off, and I, like, did the whole creeper, like, oh, let me look at his belly to see if it's still there. I definitely was checking you out for a moment.
let me see if his permanent marker belly tattoo
it's
is
gone,
still
y'all.
There.
According to my assessment, America, the tattoo is gone.
I'll give everyone a quick shot.
Oh, yeah. It's gone. You liar. You used alcohol. I don't know which kind, but you used one form of alcohol to get it.
I made a promise to you and our staff on Friday there would be no foreign substances used. That was soap, water, and good old-fashioned fat guy sweat on the golf course that helped wash that off.
I'm just glad that you're one of those that take showers. It makes me very happy.
One of those that take showers. Is there another kind? Is our expectation for men that low?
Look, honestly, it's quarantine. You never know.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I promise we won't spend all show talking about my belly, just the important parts of it, because we had a wild weekend, Jhené. We heard from there. So far, the prediction of Lakers in five is off to a good start because of the work of a non-LeBron James member of the Lakers team. And we got to get to the Falcons being the most Falcons they can possibly falcon. But holy hell, last night was fun, Jhené. We had a Seahawks and Patriots game for the ages, which is saying a lot given the nature of that series and really what has been one of the better, I think we can call it, rivalries in the NFL for a while, with the last three Patriots and Seahawks games coming down to plays at the one-yard line. That was two great quarterbacks and two teams I have a feeling we'll see in the postseason.
So much fun. Congratulations on your fantasy football victory versus me. But it was amazing just because I feel like the narratives are, these are two quarterbacks that are super talented, but in some ways they are neglected a little bit. You know, Russell Wilson has never received an MVP vote yet in his career. I feel like this is the year he stole the momentum and that can change. And then also Cam Newton, you know, this is my backup QB in fantasy. And as an athlete that has dealt with a comeback, I'm rooting for him so hard just to prove that he's just as good as what he was before. And he just fell a few yards short, but it was so much fun. I was screaming at my television, like, come on, Cam, because it sort of felt like this was the moment where we're like, yes, Cam is back. But the beauty is that people were saying that regardless.
I think they were, and I think we can all agree watching that from Cam Newton, this was a big statement. We mentioned last week it was against the Dolphins. A lot of people, myself included, said, all right, we'll learn a lot more on the road against a team like Seattle. Boy, did we ever. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I know you were talking about rooting on that last play especially. It came down to a 4th-and-1 opportunity from the goal line for Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. They went back to the well on a QB run play that had worked for them twice before to the tune of 2 Cam Newton rushing touchdowns in that game. Here was Cam after talking about that decision.
It was a great play by them. That's a play we had favorite in the game plan. We ran it a couple times and figured, you know, this thing probably went to the well too many times, but at the end of the day, still felt confident about it. We just got to execute, and I could have bounced it, you know, looking at the clip. I just got to be better. Just got to be better here at the end. And, you know, we put ourselves in a position to win. And, you know, when you do that, you gotta finish, and you didn't do that today.
That sounds like a Zoom interview if I've ever heard one, with all the clanging and banging. But Jhené, any issue with that last play and play call from the New England Patriots?
I think it's kind of ironic just because playing against the Seahawks and you're short 1 yard and you choose to rush. Like, that's the irony there. But I have no problem, just because overall we saw that Cam Newton is a competitor. And you know what was so much fun also? Like, that's what we love about Cam, how he's willing to take the hits. You know who else was? Julian Edelman. I was just watching in awe, because, you know, the narrative for so long when it comes to, you know, last season in the Patriots is that not enough weapons. And to see a guy like Julian Edelman, I think it was a career high in receiving yards, 179, tag teaming with Cam, them finding some kind of chemistry. I feel like New England feels extremely hopeful. That I'm very happy for my side piece team.
Absolutely, as you should be. And I think this is an interesting one, because on the same weekend where Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills took another big step forward, looked great inside the AFC East, and that passing attack developing right now, Cam Newton and this ground game in New England, that's going to have to buoy the fact that they got a lot less talent than the Buffalo Bills across the board. Like, it's crazy, Chiney, the way that the Patriots lean in to what you do best. This is the first time, first career time, where Cam Newton's had multiple rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games in Week 1 and Week 2. For so long in Carolina, the conversation was about, all right, we got to try and make Cam less of a runner and more of a passer. And the Patriots said, no, we'll pick and choose, and we'll do one of the things that you do best in the spots that we know it's going to work, and we're not going to put you in too many compromised positions. And I think that ends up ultimately being the difference between great franchises and ones that we see struggle, are their willingness to use the best of your gifts.
Have you been impressed by how Bill Belichick has really remolded the idea of what the quarterback does, especially now we're dealing with a transition from Tom?
Absolutely. I think it's been really impressive. And we've heard Bill lauding Cam with praise, and understandably so, because it's a new relationship. But with him and Josh McDaniels, them lighting up when they get down near the goal line. Cam Newton, 16 for 20 before last night, before that last rushing attempt, was 16 for 20 in scoring rushes from the 1 yard line, including two touchdowns in that game. It's been impressive, and it prompted our own Ryan Clark to say something pretty wild that I know is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way about New England and what they're getting out of Cam versus what they would have gotten out of the other guy.
This collection of players, Jacoby Myers, Damir Bird, N'Keal Harry, is better with Cam Newton at quarterback. Period. They are. He does more with this team than Tom Brady ever could. And that's not a knock on their careers. It's not in any way to negate Tom Brady's greatness. They needed Cam Newton. This was a match made in heaven, the same way Cam Newton said it was. It was beautiful to watch last night.
Sounds hot takey on the surface, right, Janae?
It really does. It really does.
But I have to say that he's right, because when you've got a quarterback with Cam's special set of gifts, meaning what you can do with him running the football, in addition to he was pinpoint in that passing game last night. A lot of the usual New England offense put some great tight window throws in there. But when you've got a team with lesser talent across the board, and we can all agree, the Patriots for the last few years have been in that situation, and you've got a quarterback that's a little more variable in his skill set, I think it does have a chance to lift that group, maybe more than this version of Tom Brady does, because we know his MO for so long was he elevated the players around him in a major league way, and at 43 years old, that might not be possible anymore.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, because I think when you have these consistent parts that might be less than, having a dynamic quarterback will definitely help. And what they've leaned into, the question is, how long will it be sustainable? And it, you said 16 out of 20, like he would have been successful. That blows my mind. But to me, that's what makes it a little frustrating, because I feel like with Cam, given that situation, it just felt a little predictable. And it was unfortunate towards the end. Do you agree?
I don't in this one. I saw a lot of that debate happening on Twitter, and it was one of those situations where earlier in that game, we had watched Cam when we got around the one, and I said, who's going to be able to stop that this year?
Yeah.
When you've got the option ability, when you've just got the raw power, like, Chiney, I promise, my last preseason game my rookie year was against the Carolina Panthers when I was in Pittsburgh, and when Cam jogs on the field and jogs past you down in person, you get a sense for just how differently this creature is built to play the quarterback
position.
I saw
that too, but in a whole, him in a suit. So, I get the impact. I just felt like we all knew what was going to happen, and that's why it was building up to that crescendo moment of, yes, this is going to work out. There's going to be a TD, and Cam is going to be officially back. We still get the same feels. I just feel like it was like one of those things that leave you wanting more, but that's the beauty. You know, it's 1-1, and the season just started.
Cam Newton now has 3 career games with over 300 passing yards and 2 rushing touchdown, the most in the NFL since 2011.
Okay,
Straight
Cam.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Side piece doing well.
Let's
for Chiney. But unfortunately, coming up next, we got to get to the rest of the NFL doesn't seem to be how what we are and where we're at now might have to do with where we've been all summer. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Penn's Oil Performance Line. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get some answers to some of the toughest injury questions in the NFL from our own NFL writer, Bill Barnwell, when he joins us on the show. But, Janae, it's just that where we got to start, because this weekend, as much fun as last night was, where we have buzzer beater from Anthony Davis in the Western Conference Finals, we had the showdown between the Cowboys and the Falcons that was an absolute barn burner. Sunday Night Football, it was all sort of marred by just the rash of injuries that we saw the entire weekend.
Yeah, super disappointing. And even, you know, trickling over to finding out the final diagnoses today, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Drew Locke, Cortland Sutton, so many guys that are dealing with some real injuries. And it really has taken a damper out of what we expected a lot out of a lot of teams. Like, this could really shift the trajectory for a lot of the teams in the NFL. But still, you know, I think this is part of the sport. And in this environment and in this climate where return to play has been a lot more challenging than before, I think this is something that is unfortunately expected, and hopefully teams can still find ways to rebound without a lot of their stars.
And I think that was the crazy part and the jarring part, Shanae, was we expected a lot more week one. And I think, like you, I was pleasantly surprised getting through week one when we had talked to Stefania Bell, our ESPN injury expert, who said soft tissue injuries were a big concern without the ramp-up time, without the normal preseason schedule. And we got through week one, and we're all like, all right. Like, we had that stat. It was the first time, and I forget how long, that all 32 starting quarterbacks had either not been benched or injured going from week one to week two. And then we got to this week, and I don't know if it was just the names, Chinee, or the sheer volume that got to me, but all of it just reeked of, and I don't know, as someone who certainly made a decision not to enter the WNBA bubble, in part because you were worried about the ramp-up time coming off of some injuries you'd sustained, how much do you think this ties back to this summer?
I think it is a contributing factor, the injuries, just because going into the season, and maybe week one, we were really excited, but week two was sort of like, okay, back to reality, snapping back to reality. When you're training during quarantine, you don't have a lot of the necessary equipment that you use to just continue to train. Like, I was going back to the basics. I was in my house. I was doing personal yoga. I'd be running on fields. I'm, you know, in Texas, and the fields were next to, like, cows and stuff, which shout out to the parks there. But, like,
I thought you were about to say shout out to cows, which, like, you know, big ups, like, big fan of cows.
I was going to say, like, they're a park. Shout out to the park rangers there that were huge sports fans that understood that, hey, you know, these parks need to be closed, but hey, I understand you're a professional athlete, and this is the most, like, you need free space to run, because you're going to be called up, and when you get called up, you have 1 week to do physicals, and then after that, you have 4 weeks to get ready to play. Myself, I need 3 months, you know, no distractions to get ready to touch the court. So I knew that was going to be challenging. Those are some of the situations that a lot of these athletes were in. And so going without their medical, you know, equipment or their doctors or their, you know, recovery type of tools, it just seems like this is something that we knew as players that this was the risk we were willing to take, right? Like, we knew that this is something that could potentially happen. I think the names sort of make this a little, the names and the climate make this feel really bad. But in football, as you sort of have this idea, this is just something that tends to happen every year. And these names sort of are shock value in this climate also creates this idea that maybe it's like, oh goodness, this is too much.
It does. It feels like the sky is falling in a lot of this, because you look at where the injuries are happening, and even before, you know, leading into and including this week, you look at the players with the highest percentage of their team scrimmage yards since 2017. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Le'Veon Bell, all with about a third of their team scrimmage yards. Christian McCaffrey, we know that high ankle going to keep him out for multiple weeks. Saquon Barkley, the ACL injury, and Le'Veon Bell, who's already on IR with a hamstring injury. Now, IR a little bit different this season. And yes, I think a lot of this has to do with football is just unfortunately a very violent and cruel game, because these weren't a lot of soft tissue injuries, and a lot of them were in these piles, in these areas where unfortunately the twisting and gnashing that goes on with football tends to produce some of these unfortunate situations. But our ESPN injury expert Stefania Bell was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and was asked about how she thought this might all be tied together, and here's what she had to say.
I think it's certainly a factor, and let me tell you, clubs were concerned about this. I spoke to a number of medical staff, folks from different teams around the country, and one of the biggest concerns when everybody was negotiating what the preseason in this COVID-19 era would look like had to do with conditioning time, this ramp-up period. And I'll tell you why. It's not just opinion or random thing it to be. So we kept injury data every year and look at preseason injury and in-season injury, and they look at injury rate, and they look at something they call injury burden, which is days missed due to injury. And one of the biggest standouts in recent years is the injury burden, again, missed days due to lower extremity injury. So think of anything, you know, hip, but especially knee, foot, and ankle. And that's soft tissue injuries like your ACL and MCL tears, ankle fractures, et cetera, hamstring strains, which is a huge one right now. And what they found is that about 2 weeks into training camp, that typically is when volume and intensity of work goes up, and there is a huge injury spike around week 2 to 3.
And so if we really look at the beginning of the season as an extended preseason, the way a lot of people have talked about, Chinay, I think what Stefania just described there makes an overwhelming amount of sense. All of that time and energy starting to really get going at full speed again kind of coincides with that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, it's going from 0 to 100 really quick. And, you know, I think when we think preseason, we think that, oh, that's when, like, the first time you start moving. No, before preseason, you're pretty much doing scrimmage, you know, scrimmage type activities before all of that. So to not have a preseason where you're now on full display, everyone's so happy to have sports back, you're doing the reps at 100% that you normally would not do. You know, you'd do it probably 2 weeks, 4 weeks prior. And while you're doing those, you know, normal preseason type of experiences, it's not like 100% for the entirety of the game or taking all of the snaps or, you know, all that type of stuff. So it really is a gradual process. And that process I knew could not be rushed for me based on my injury history. But to see a lot of these guys that, you know, you look at Saquon, this is the guy who's one of the stars, one of the faces of the league that, you know, with his injury with the quads, like quads are supposed to protect your ACLs. That's what they tell us to strengthen. You know, that to me is what sort of gives me pause. I'm like, man, it just is tough to really pull this off, you know, but they've done a great job. You look at the COVID test, like everything is the best with what they have. It just is tough to see from a player standpoint, these guys sort of, you know, be in a situation where they could potentially, you know, be injured. But guess what? That's the sport.
It is, and it's unfortunate, like you said, though, that it comes so early in the season after this offseason where you battle through so much, like you talked about, just to get back to the field. Chinay Ngola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Coming up next, Bill Barnwell, one of our great writers here at ESPN, really piqued my interest. One, kind of countering some of what we had heard from Stefania there relative to how some of these injuries popped up, but also who they might affect the most. And there's some big picture reasons that are going to be really interesting to a lot of people in the tri-state area. We'll get to that next after this word from DraftKings. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings is a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. And for a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinay Ngola Jr.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. And that's where we have to go to try and make sense of everything that we saw happening this weekend in the NFL. We're delighted to be joined by ESPN senior writer and host of the Bill Barnwell podcast, Bill Barnwell, now with us here on Chinay Ngola Jr. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Bill. And it would be better if people were healthier, and you wrote a great piece on .com about the effect of a lot of these injuries. But I'm curious, Bill, just anecdotally even, it felt like a much higher volume than we've seen in recent years and some of the bigger names. How devastating league-wide was this weekend that we saw on the injury front for the NFL?
I mean, I'll start personally as someone who built a fantasy team around Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. It's not been a great day for me. I think other people have dealt with it, obviously, on a much more serious and genuine level. I mean, it really was, you know, just a brutal, brutal day for injuries. I think we saw, you know, multiple starting quarterbacks, a star edge rusher, multiple starting running backs You know, guys, just you could make a whole team out of players who suffered injuries last week. And so I'm not sure what necessarily caused it. I think it's more randomness than anything else, but just an absolutely brutal day.
Bill, whose absence do you think will be the most felt yesterday?
Yeah, I think Nick Bosa is the guy who comes to mind for me, a player who, I mean, really fundamentally changed the way the Niners played defense a year ago and just took them to a new level, even given all the talent they already had heading into the season. And, of course, he's going to miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL. It's just a huge injury. And I think the Niners, you know, maybe they could shoulder it better if they were healthier at other places, but they're the most banged-up team in football right now.
Bill Barnwell joining us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And Bill, based on what we'd already seen from the 49ers, a team who looked primed for regression, how concerned should we start to be that in that division especially, this could be a team that flirts with going from the Super Bowl to maybe missing the playoffs?
Yeah, I think when you look at divisions where you have four teams that are super talented and get off to hot starts the way the NFC West has, the thing that decides the division in the long run is either having just a transformative quarterback or staying healthy. And the Niners don't have that transformative quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, even when he is healthy, let alone the Garoppolo who's dealing with a high ankle sprain. And then out of these teams, they all have their own injury issues, but the Niners are banged up by far the most relative to the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. So that's not going to get better as the season goes on. You don't typically have a ton of injuries in September and then suddenly get healthy by the time November and December rolls around. It kind of happens then last year a little bit on defense, but that's the exception as opposed to the rule. So it's just tough to see how the Niners are going to be able to shoulder sort of weather all of these injuries and keep up in a division where, you know, you might need 11 or 12 wins to win the NFC West here.
Here with Bill Barnwell, ESPN NFL writer and also the host of the Bill Barnwell podcast on Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, Bill, I know we're going to switch to the actual on the field because there were so many huge moments from yesterday, Sunday night. But can you explain to us what, in your interpretation, happened between the Cowboys and the Falcons late?
I mean, I've never seen an entire team get hypnotized before in the middle of a game. And I was kind of impressed that the Cowboys were able to pull that off. I mean, you know, it was such a strange moment because, you know, I don't want to say they were coached poorly. I don't want to resort to that. I think it's a really easy sort of answer, but I've never seen like five or six different players, all of whom could have done something to try and solve the issue, just kind of stand there and stare at each other. It was so strange. And I think, you know, the Falcons could have closed the door. Of course, there was that Julio Jones play where he, you know, had an open catch for a touchdown and dropped it. I don't know what prevents Julio from getting into the end zone, unfortunately. But, you know, they left the door just open enough for the Cowboys to kind of manage the late game right and get back in the game. And it's just a crushing loss for the Falcons who now go to 0-2, are behind in that division. It just, how do you recover from that in 7 days and play next week?
The Atlanta Falcons are now the only team to score 39 points and turn the ball over zero times in a loss. Teams prior to that were 440-0. It just seems cruel, almost as cruel, Bill, as the idea that the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen seem to have become the air raid Bills, are off to a phenomenal start. And I have a feeling the story in the AFC East is still going to be that Cam Newton and this different new-look New England Patriots team might be the class of this division yet again. How do you make of the AFC East through 2 weeks?
I mean, the Bills look dominant. I mean, you can say the competition hasn't been great. I don't know the Jets are going to be great. I don't think the Dolphins are a great team as of yet. But Josh Allen is playing like a superstar. And all he can do is play great against the competition he's facing. And through 2 weeks, you know, to me, he's been the second best quarterback in football behind Russell Wilson, right up there with Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, maybe in that top four. But those guys are in a different class from everyone else so far. And that was always the question. We knew the defense was going to be good for the Bills. We knew that they had a lot of depth on offense. They added Stephon Diggs, who looks great so far, by the way. You know, all it's going to be is just, hey, can Josh Allen be an average quarterback? Because if he is, this is a serious, serious playoff contender. And Josh Allen is playing better than average football right now. He's playing good to very good to great football for stretches here over the first 2 weeks. So something to monitor. Of course, they got the Rams this week. That's a different caliber of defense with Aaron Donald. But, I mean, if Josh Allen continues to play this way, the Bills are going to be hard to beat. So as good as Cam Newton looked last night, as good as the Patriots, you know, were in coming close to beating the Seahawks in Seattle, I think the Bills with a good Josh Allen are one of the best teams in football, regardless of division.
Now switching to the NFC East, the Eagles down 0-2 after 2 weeks in the NFL. How much blame should be laid at the feet of one Carson Wentz?
It's got to be some, right? You know, I mean, we were all heading into the season saying, okay, we got Carson Wentz the offensive line. We got him the receivers. We got him the speed. We got him the running back. Carson's got to prove what he can do. And granted, there have been a lot of offensive line injuries. But you watch Carson play, his decision-making just is not there. He's just making decisions that a quarterback with his level of experience in the NFL at this point should not be making, forcing throws into windows that aren't there, missing throws where receivers are open, not seeing guys coming open as part of his progression. Whether it's a lack of confidence, whether it's just a, you know, a sort of hero ball thing where he either is either not confident at all or maybe too confident in stretches, it's hard to say. You know, but I think the Eagles have to kind of slow things down and make things easier for Wentz. We saw with Nick Foles a few years ago. They went to a lot of RPOs, a lot of one-read stuff, get the ball out quick, and kind of move on and not worry about, you know, trying to cycle through your progressions and make a big play. And it worked out great for Nick Foles because that's what he's good at. Now, with Wentz, could he kind of flourish in a similar sort of scheme? Could you see more of that maybe in week three when they play the Bengals that don't have a great defense? I think that makes sense. Like, I want to kind of build his confidence back up, have him play in the structure of the offense, you know, kind of avoid the hero ball stuff where he's holding onto the ball for 4 or 5 seconds. And I think if you do that, he's going to be in a better place. But right now, he's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Bill Barnwell with us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. Bill, staying in that division, in some bizarre way, is it fair to say that Saquon Barkley's injury might actually save Dave Gettleman's job?
Yes. It's so, like, explain this to someone who does not like sports, that you could draft a guy, have him get injured, and somehow it makes you look better than if the guy had stayed healthy. But that's exactly what could happen here, because now Dave Gettleman can sit here and say, hey, I drafted Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and Andrew Thomas, three offensive players in the top five, and they have played one game together by the end of Daniel Jones' second season in the NFL. Saquon Barkley he played with Daniel Jones, but he was hurt all of last year pretty much, got hurt with a high ankle sprain in Daniel Jones' first start, came back, was not really the same guy. The draft Thomas this year, of course, Thomas played one game in week one, and then Saquon Barkley gets injured in week two. Those five weapons for Daniel Jones, Saquon, Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, a really good core of weapons. They've played five snaps together with Daniel Jones before Barkley tore his ACL. So Dave Gettleman can sit here and say, hey, you know, if we just get to see what Saquon Barkley is when he's healthy, then let's evaluate me. But that's not going to happen until next year. So Dave Gettleman, obviously not having the best time when it comes to his draft picks and his first rounders in recent years, might get an extra season because we just haven't seen what Saquon can do as part of this offense.
It's unbelievable to think about, as you said, the bizarre world that is New York Giants football right now. Follow him on Twitter at Bill Barnwell. Check out the Bill Barnwell podcast wherever you get your podcast, and read him on ESPN.com. Bill, we appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, it really is. I'm sorry. I felt bad that I had to do that to Devin. I saw his eyes glaze over in here. I know him and Shannon are already reeling today.
I thought it was like New York football in general.
Yeah, no, it all just seems to center. Well, New York football in general will be the subject of another discussion as we look at the Win Never for Trevor crew that's slowly jockeying for position in that in the tri-state area. But coming up next, maybe one of the worst defensive plays of the weekend actually happening on the hardwood. We'll get to that next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I wanted to talk about the biggest shot from over the weekend. I wanted to come in here and pat myself in the back because Lakers in five, like I told you all.
I mean, technically they're up 2-0, so.
It's right on schedule. It's right on schedule, and I wanted to take credit for all of that and more. I'm looking forward to talking to you, 888-729-3776. In a little bit, we're going to come in hot. We're going to let people vent their frustrations over the weekend, which team was actually hit hardest by the injury bug in the NFL. But Chanae and Golic Jr. is here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you just heard on the bump back in there, Ray Sremmer, Black Beatles playing on there. And we were talking during the break, like, for some reason, I'm always belching hip-hop lines for no reason. And I get to the one, it's Euro step past a hater like I'm Rondo. I upgrade your baby mom to a condo. And we're like, wait a minute. Since when is since when has Rondo been known for his Eurostep in this? Mm-hmm. And we got to talking about rap lyrics that lie about the accomplishments of athletes, and we come to find out, Chiné, that you just tossed in very casually, oh yeah, I'm in a Lil Wayne lyric.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The funny thing is people don't know how to spell my name, but like, so according to like the way these lyrics are written out for these websites, it's something weird, but he said like Erykah Badu with the fade, like capital WNBA is like my go hard like Chiné. Erykah Badu with the fade, capital WNBA. So the context clues point to me. Also, Lil Wayne is a huge women's basketball fan. So everyone, I remember I woke up one day and I was in Connecticut at that time. I'm like, yo, Lil Wayne rapped about you. I was like, what? So I put it in the lyrics. I was like, the lyrics. And he's like, read the lyrics, though. I was like, oh, that does sound like someone that could possibly be me. And yeah.
Again, like, we're just learning this now, like a month into the show. And our producer, Devin, said this best during the break. Had it been any of the rest of us, I would be able to tell you the exact song, the exact time into the song, and how often this has been cited and searched on Google. And Chiné just tossed this down the street like it's any other thing. So,
I mean, it was on one of his many mixtapes, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, it's lit. And I did, but I haven't listened to it in a minute. But I'm trying to find it right now.
You know what? We're going to hunt that down. We're going to see if we can find it and if it's clean enough to air. And we're going to get
Fly
it out
away,
here.
Fly away, Lil Wayne.
My God. Chiné and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Okay, I got it. Mont ballin' like Chiné. Erykah Badu with a fade, capital WNBA. Yeah, that's probably me. Chiné, that's probably Chiné. So.
That's probably... Oh, wait, so now it's in... Now there's a discrepancy here. We're not exactly sure.
Well, I mean, people don't know how to spell my name, you know? So it literally says Z-H-A-N-E.
Okay.
It says Chiné, but like...
We got. You know what? We're going to pull and listen to the song during the break. This feels like the WNBA logo, how we said it's not specifically one person, and so you can lay claim to it, and I encourage that.
Absolutely, but I'm pretty sure it's me. Like Erykah Badu, black woman with a fadeaway shot. Yeah.
We're
WNBA.
Going.
WNBA.
Listen, I'm here for it. You're taking credit for it, all right? We got this. Chiné Angola Jr., officially one of us mentioned in a Lil Wayne song. We don't need to get into the specifics of who. What I do need you to answer for me, Chiné, on the basketball front is, was last night what we saw at the end, a buzzer-beating win for the Los Angeles Lakers to go up 2-0 on the Denver Nuggets in what was a really closely contested game. That last play, Anthony Davis hits an unbelievable shot. He's been playing out of his mind for the last two games. On the other side, was that one of the worst defensive decisions I have ever seen made by whichever Plumlee plays for that team?
So I would not say it's one of the worst defensive decisions because that happens all the time. A lot of people score because people jump behind the screen and it's just an error of miscommunication. But when there's a situation where it's the playoffs, it's the Western Conference Finals, you talk about that in the timeout. And then you want to also have a team that talks about it before the ref hands the ball so you know exactly what you're doing. So the reason why this was horrible is just because Plumlee, it was Mason Plumlee, he's guarding Anthony Davis, and he uses LeBron James, which he assumes to be, because Grant did call for help, but who wouldn't call for help? When you're on the last play, everyone assumes LeBron James is getting the ball. He calls for help. Right, bet. You don't give help at the expense of letting Anthony Davis roam free. So instead of gravitating towards LeBron James and stopping behind a screen, you chase AD until you see your teammate has him, and then you go help who really needs to get helped. That's the situation. That was unfortunate. And, you know, if he chased, AD would not have, literally, AD did exactly what you're supposed to do on those type of miscommunications. If someone jumps behind the screen, you stop, you pop back, because you're, now LeBron is acting as a screener there. You pop back, you have a wide open three. Shout out to Jokic, though. He tried. He went from guarding the ball to trying to close out. But in that situation, it should have been Plumlee chasing AD all the way till Jokic hops off the ball. And then Plumlee finding someone else to help, whether it's Rondo, the inbounds player, or not. So bad mistake. This happens all the time in basketball. This is why a lot of guys shoot behind the screens, right? But it can't happen at that time. Bad time, bad place.
Bad time, bad place, and the wrong dude with Anthony Davis the way he was playing. But, Chiné, we don't have time to play the sound right now, but Jay Williams, who's co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin this morning, said he looked at this as a torch-passing moment from LeBron James to Anthony Davis. I'm not really willing to go that far, and I don't think we have to in this moment. Anthony Davis was the hot hand. LeBron looked like, you know, pretty much dreck at the end of that game in the fourth quarter, and they looked at that situation. The decision was made to feed the guy who had been getting buckets, who's one of the best players in the league. I don't think we have to make it this is all of a sudden where LeBron James does the passing of the torch.
No, I don't think so. I think bigger picture here is that this is the moment where we start saying AD before he wins X, Y, or Z, how many championships. This is the moment where he became the winner. And so that it's more on AD than it is on LeBron James, because if AD will get him, if AD will get LeBron James another championship, who's going to raise their hand and be here for it? LeBron James. Right after the game, what did he do? He ran to Instagram and say, that's my guy, that's my whoa. And that's the energy that they want to be on. They both want to win, but AD also has the opportunity to step into his prime right now.
And we've said AD was one of those guys, kind of like Paul George with the Clippers, that came over with a lot of pressure on him because of the way he left his previous location. We'll get back into that. We'll get into your answers of who got hit by the injury bug the hardest this weekend and how Falcons were the Falcons this weekend.